This is Fresh Air. Megalopolis, the latest long-gestating movie from writer-director Francis Ford Coppola, has taken roughly 40 years to reach the screen. The film, which Coppola has called a Roman epic set in modern America, stars Adam Driver as a famous architect. The ensemble cast also features Shia LaBeouf, Giancarlo Esposito, Aubrey Plaza, and John Voight. Megalopolis opens in theaters this week, and our film critic, Justin Chang, has this review.
In the early 1980s, Francis Ford Coppola, with classics like The Godfather and Apocalypse Now under his belt, set his sights on his next magnum opus, an ambitious, fable-like drama that would draw parallels between the U.S. and ancient Rome. But after the costly flop of his 1982 musical, One from the Heart, Coppola wasn't able to get another big-budget labor of love off the ground, and Megalopolis languished for decades. It was only a few years ago that he returned to the project, selling off part of his wine business and putting up $120 million of his own money. Even after production wrapped, setbacks continued, from challenges finding theatrical distribution to reports that Coppola had behaved inappropriately with women on the set, which the director has denied. Now, against considerable odds, Megalopolis has arrived. And whatever you have or haven't heard about it, I urge you to see it for yourself. You might conclude, like some of the critics at this year's Cannes Film Festival, that Megalopolis is an unholy mess, full of disjointed plot points, didactic ideas, and muddled historical allusions. An epic folly from a once great filmmaker who long ago lost his mojo and possibly his mind. To which I can only say that every folly should have as much guts and passion as Megalopolis. I've seen it twice now, and both times I've come away dazzled by its beauty, its conviction, and its moments of brilliance. The story takes place in a city called New Rome, which looks a lot like New York, but with Roman flourishes, from the classical architecture to the Bacchanalian parties, and even a Colosseum-style sports arena. The plot essentially updates a famous Roman power struggle from 63 BC. Adam Driver plays Caesar Catilina, an architect and designer who longs to transform New Rome into a dazzling futuristic utopia. But Caesar is challenged by the cynical mayor, Franklin Cicero, that's Giancarlo Esposito, who sees Caesar as a delusional dreamer. Furthering the conflict is Cicero's daughter, Julia, a hard-partying medical school dropout played by Natalie Emmanuel. One day, Julia visits Caesar at his office and asks to work with him.
You want to help me?
Yeah, and while I want to learn.
And you think 1 year of medical school entitles you to plow through the riches of my Emersonian mind?
Entitles me?
Yes.
Entitles me?
Yes.
Entitles me?
Yes.
You have no idea about me. You think I am nothing, just a socialite?
No, not nothing, but I reserve my time for people who can think about science and literature and architecture and art. You find me cruel. Selfish and unfeeling, I am. I work without caring what happens to either of us. So go back to the club, bear it all, and stalk the kind of people that you enjoy.
There's a speechy stiffness to Coppola's dialogue that takes some getting used to. But the story itself is a fairly straightforward mix of romance, sci-fi noir, and political thriller. Caesar does hire Julia as an assistant, and they become lovers. But many complications ensue. There's the mystery of Caesar's late wife, who died years ago under strange circumstances. There's also much dysfunctional family drama involving Caesar's filthy rich banker uncle, played by John Voight, and a ne'er-do-well cousin, that's Shia LaBeouf. Both men have their own sinister designs on the city's future. And in the borderline cliché role of an unscrupulous TV reporter, Aubrey Plaza steals every scene, as Aubrey Plaza usually does. There's more, much more, horse-drawn chariots and nightclub unicorns, old Hollywood-style film techniques and kaleidoscopic visual effects, wild sex, and startling violence. There are also references to Pygmalion, Marcus Aurelius, sapphic poetry, and Hamlet, whose to-be-or-not-to-be soliloquy Caesar at one point performs. He's in the throes of an existential crisis, fearful that humanity's time may be running out. And if Megalopolis has one subject, it's time. The characters talk about time constantly. The trippy production design is full of clocks and sundials. Caesar has the supernatural ability to briefly freeze time in its tracks, but even he cannot halt its forward march for long. Watching the movie, I couldn't stop thinking about Coppola, who's now 85, and his own battle with time, including the 4 decades he spent trying to get Megalopolis made. But whatever resentment Coppola may feel toward an industry that has both honored and shunned him over the years, there isn't a trace of bitterness to the movie. Caesar believes in the future, and so does Coppola. Just because Rome fell, he seems to say, doesn't mean the world has to. Wars can end, the planet can be saved, and people can choose to live in a more inclusive and equitable society. Most of all, Coppola clearly believes in the future of movies, and that in a medium overrun with franchises, streaming junk, and AI technology, there's still room for a big-screen work of art as grandly improbable and deeply human as Megalopolis. Like so many of Francis Ford Coppola's movies, it truly is one from the heart.
Justin Chang is a film critic for The New Yorker. He reviewed Francis Ford Coppola's new film, Megalopolis. On Monday's show, Barefoot Contessa host Ina Garten takes us to where it all started in a new memoir about her painful childhood in Connecticut and how she went from working in the White House to becoming a beloved culinary voice despite having no prior experience in the food industry. I hope you can join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support by Joyce Lieberman, Julian Hertzfeld, and Charlie Kyer. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Teresa Madden, Monique Nazareth, Thea Challoner, Susan Yakundi, Anna Bauman, and Joel Wolfram. Our digital media producers are Molly C.V. Nesper and Sabrina Seward. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm David Biancooley.